Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, lucky devils and demons. This is Nurse Hatchet. You are listening to the Wolf Pack.
Get down. DJ! Oh, that is gross.
Support.
Settle down, Beaver.
Do you think you can handle it?
Make some noise!
You are listening to Full Spectrum Horror.
We're there, dude.
Alright, alright, alright! You gonna learn today?
This is William Patterson, a.k.a. Eric Morris, and I have no idea what Mr. Hyland's saying because he's been possessed again.
Yes.
Lovely.
If you check under your bed tonight, I will be there scaring the hell out of you.
Don't think so. You wouldn't want to be under my bed. It's scary. We got dirt bunnies underneath that bed.
That doesn't scare me.
Oh, it should. It should. Oh, God. Mr. Hyland.
Yes.
So, how is it there in Chicago? I mean, what gets me is you keep leaving your window open, so I keep hearing the outside noise.
Well, there wasn't any outside noise lately, but. Did I tell you last night there was some bass noise coming from inside my building, right next door?
Bass noise? No, you didn't.
Yeah, what sounded like what was coming from a big screen TV.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Someone got a big screen TV and has been blaring it on poor Mr. Hyland and vibrating the love shack, huh?
Yeah, I was putting my hand to the wall and say, yep, that's them. And you want to know what...
If they put it right next to your bedroom wall, fuck,
no.
That sucks.
No, it wasn't that. But you want to know the ironic thing about the situation?
What movie were they listening to?
I don't know. I couldn't hear it. But the ironic thing is that this neighbor who was making the noise, 2 years ago they were complaining about another neighbor who has since moved out, and the person who moved out, they were playing loud music early in the morning, and and this person who was making noise last night, they complained to the now ex-neighbor. Isn't that ironic?
Well, now it's your turn to complain.
Not to this person. Mm-mm. I mean, not in person, I mean.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't confront her in person.
I mean, he might, you know. Yeah, I mean, you could always
say
bring
this
your clown suit and scare him.
Let's just say this person is quite fierce. I remember hearing them 2 years ago, and wouldn't want to get on that episode.
Oh, okay. So you got a big gorilla that was next to you who pounces.
It's a woman.
Oh, even better, a big woman that pounds your chest.
Yes.
That's a big dick.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, well. That's fun.
Yes, but looking back on it, I keep telling
myself. Mrs. Homer's afraid of getting beat up by the big lady.
Looking back on it, I keep telling myself, well, it could be worse. The sounds could have been just something else that would have just drove me nuts. But a loud TV isn't really that bad.
Okay, well, that's better. You know, that's better than nothing. Cool. Yeah, it's been pretty quiet around here, thank God. I mean, you know, we had a couple of days where I didn't have any television thanks to Comcast. Fucking bastards. You know, it's bad enough they charge us through the nose for stuff, but then we have pixelation. And the damned thing keeps crashing on us.
Well, you want to know what I've done when things like that have happened?
Call them and threaten their lives?
No. While you're waiting for it to come back on, I've gotten movies from the library.
Meh.
No, you don't get stuff from the library?
No, I don't get stuff from the library.
Oh. It's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame because you could be saving thousands of dollars like I have done.
No, thank you. I have other ways to get movies.
Fine.
All right, Mr. Harris, you know what time it is?
Yeah. I have 10:05, but apparently my clock is early.
No. It's time for what's on,
yeah.
Christopher Hodgins,
yes.
Mod.
Yes, I know. Just makes me think.
Hello. Hello. Hello, I'm here.
Good. Okay, so I have to, huh?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Well, this won't be too long. I thought about this one, and it ties into what I've been hearing about regarding the horror convention season. And one of my friends keeps telling me, on occasion, he keeps mentioning this one convention called the Flashback Convention. And it keeps reminding me of this one book, and they've made a movie out about it called Bay of the Locust. Now, I've mentioned this movie to you before, Eric, and I'm not sure if you've seen it yet, but
nope. It's
okay, well, you'll want to see it because it stars Donald Sutherland and Karen Black, and it's about the golden age of Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
And I've said to people, they've been unreceptive of this idea of saying, when I've said, oh, someone should write a Day of the Locust type of novel about either modern Hollywood or the convention circuit. Because the novel and the movie, I mean, they're basically, do I want to call it a black satire, dark satire, dark comedy?
Yeah, well,
it is, but then again, it isn't. I mean, some material from the story is just really, it really digs into you. The ending consists of a very large riot, and it's just, oh God, I'm not really sure where I'm going with this one, but it just makes me think of how dirty some of the conventions are. But my point is, I've been to this flashback convention 3 times, and lately I've been hearing how Naziistic some of the tactics have been. For example, you can't leave flyers for anything there. If you do, the security will either follow you around and or kick you out.
Huh.
And I've left flyers there when I was there for stuff, but I had to be really sneaky when I was doing it.
Yeah, that's kind of odd because, I mean, I remember when, the conventions that I used to go to, like WonderCon when it was in San Francisco, and big wow, you could put stuff out there. You could put your little flyers and stuff out.
And other conventions aren't like that. I mean, I was doing it, the it was really crowded, and no one was paying attention to me. So it was like, the hand is quicker than the eye. It was like that.
Yeah, it's kind of, a lot of these conventions are problematic. There's a lot of politics that go on. I mean, still.
I just suddenly remembered my point. That wasn't my point. My point was this. What's that one actor's name from Buffy who had the substance abuse problems? Xander, the guy who played Xander. You remember who I'm talking about? What?
Yes, I do, and I do remember the story.
Okay, I was talking about conventions. Of course, everyone knows that a lot of drinking goes on at conventions. And, of course, getting back to the Day of the Locust and the riot that goes on at the ending, I hope this doesn't happen, or I hope this hasn't happened before, but can you imagine that either in the bar or an after party or a VIP party, someone just collapses from alcohol poisoning and people just basically ignore it. You know, they just go on as if, nothing's the matter.
I would hate for that to happen. Oh, same with me. I'd hate to see that happen, but there's been a lot of stuff that have happened in conventions that have been ignored, and a lot of terrible things. So, you know, that you know, it's plausible. Let's put it that way. It's bad, but it's plausible that something like that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, why does it have to be focused on alcohol? I mean, I've heard that there's been, the Texas Frightmare. I've heard that there's a lot of pot smoke coming through that convention hall.
Drugs and all kinds of different stuff coming through Texas Frightmare. Yes, it's disgusting. I mean, seriously, you're going there for horror to meet celebrities and stuff, and what? You turn into a bunch of fucking drug addicts and fucking drunks. Fucking ridiculous. You know, it's like, give me a fucking break. I mean, you know, with me, whenever I've been at conventions, I'm there to go to the convention. I'm not there to fucking get soused. Just amazes me. Anyways. But, you know, people say that I'm a little bit weird. I'm not the social type person like all these other superior beings that do the conventions. Oh, fuck that shit. Give me a break. At least I'm there for the fans. Fuck it. Anyways, so, Mr. Hyland.
Yeah?
We got a movie to talk about.
Yes, I know. And I just watched this last night.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, you know, what I can tell you, Mr. Hyland, is that was a regular movie that they used to play on Creature Features when I was a kid. I loved that film. I mean, it was like, you know, every few months you'd have Blood on Satan's Claw on there. You know, on IMDb, they put it The Blood on Satan's Claw, and if you go looking for it now, it says The Blood. But originally, it was Blood on Satan's Claw. Even the posters, the original posters said Blood on Satan's Claw. So, just a little trivia for you. You there, Mr. Hyland?
Yeah, and I'm just gathering my thoughts. And I'm glad that this was a historical horror movie. It was actually more of a historical film and not really so much as horror.
Well, it is a horror movie, but the thing is that it's almost like The Witch in that
I haven't
in
seen
that,
that yet.
Is in that it deals with, the idea of witchcraft and the witch trials and, you know, witchery, you know, and that kind of thing, you know, and how it affects a small village. And, you know, what I found interesting is that it was a British production, but it wasn't done by our dear friends Amigas or Hammer. It was done by an independent production company called Tigran. And honestly, I have not seen another film done by Tigran. So I'm kind of wondering if the company went out of business after they did Blood on Satan's Claw, which is a shame because, it was a halfway decent film.
Yeah, a lot of movies that have the deal with either paranormal or Satanism, some of them, they go overboard with those aspects. And what I like about the British films that have that the British horror films, they don't do that. They give you just enough to shock you. And the shocking parts in this movie, I mean, they did shock me. Such as the first part where you see the girl's hand and it's a claw. My jaw just dropped. I'm like, whoa, what the because with horror movies these days, well, maybe not these days, especially with specifically the 80s, with paranormal stuff, they go completely overboard. I mean, they throw everything at you, and specifically to scare you to the point where it scars you for life. I mean, as a writer, you don't want to do that. I mean, you don't want to shock them to the point where it's like, oh, I can't watch that again. But no, you don't get that with British horror films.
Nowadays, they try and they fail because all they do is they throw a bunch of people in fucked up makeup, or they throw CGI action, and that's not real scare. Real scares are built by subtlety and tension and stuff. And that's one thing I did like about this film was that it did have some tension to it.
Yeah, the British films are the red wine. The American horror films are the American 80s paranormal films are 100% proof vodka.
Well, the thing is that the British during this time, this was the time when this film came out was the time when Hammer and Amigas were the big ones in England. And England, they were going for more gothic. They were going for, more basic historical type horror. Whereas America, they were going more for, a lot of psychological horror during that, during the same time. So what you had is you had kind of like these like drug movies in the 70s, one in America, which were, just like these acid trips that they called horror movies.
Yeah, they went for modernism.
Yeah, they went for ultra-modernism, and, I mean, you had just some wacky-ass shit in America, whereas, you had stuff like this in England, which was, it had good writing, it had good characters in that, and this was very interesting, the way that they handled this one. Honestly, a lot of people consider this film a low budget film, but the thing is that it was made for £83,000, which, for the time it was, that's an amazing amount.
Yeah, I don't know what the equivalent of today's money would be in that.
Well, the thing is, modern times, £83,000 would be $160,000. Which is interesting. So, anyways, just to give our fans here a little idea of what the film is about, why don't you give them the basic storyline?
Well, as we've mentioned before, it's about witchcraft. These young people in this, yeah, it is England. It says 18th century. This young guy finds remains of, I don't know what, he thinks it's some kind of deformed body, and he gets someone to come look at it, and when they get back there, part of it is gone. Yeah. And then,
yeah, the judge is visiting the house where he works. Yeah, I recall.
Yeah. And then cut to another house where... Is this the same house? No.
No,
it's
well,
yeah,
that,
the judge's house.
Yeah, it was
the
same
house. Yeah.
Where the young guy and his fiance show up.
Yeah, they show up and... They go to this house. I mean, they go to the attic, and during the middle of the night, from the floor, you see this furred hand with a claw. And I'm thinking, okay, where's it coming from? How did it get there? What the hell? What's it doing there in the first place? It makes no sense. It's kind of like a satanic puppet show, you know.
Yeah. But anyway,
she's screaming her head off, and then you see her, she attacks someone in the house, and then you see her get taken away, and then her fiance looks at her hand, and she has long nails and a claw for a hand, and I'm thinking, what the hell?
Yeah, definitely.
The thing, man,
that
it's quite striking.
What the hell? Yeah.
And then later on, I think it's the same person. I think it's the same guy who sees the hand, I mean the claw, and you think that the hand is attacking him, and so he manages to get a knife and chop the hand off, but it turns out it's actually his hand. And this is some pretty fucked up shit.
Yeah, it actually was. It was the fiance. He went up there and he spent the night, and the thing attacked him. That was one of the weirdest part of the writing for me, was because this thing tries to come up out of the floor. He goes and he puts a foot locker on it. And what's funny as hell is that he just continues to sleep there.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But anyways,
And of course, I'm sure you recognize the two Doctor Who actors.
Oh,
remember? Yeah. And Anthony Ainley plays the priest, and then he gets accused of sexual harassment by one of the girls. I think she is...
Yeah, the girl's name is Angel.
Yeah, she's the ringleader of the coven.
Yeah, I remember that. The girl who plays her does a fantastic job, though.
Yeah. And they give her fake eyebrows. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, just make it really tacky. Just... give her really,
we're just drawn on. Those were just drawn on to make her look more intense.
I didn't think that was necessary.
I know.
It's ridiculous that they did.
Weird.
I mean, just give her a fake mustache. Give her a fake mustache too. Make her look like Snidely Whiplash rather at it.
Oh God. But I mean, you know, I mean, the thing is that what happens is half the kids in that town join the cult, and they start killing. They start cutting off each other's limbs and stuff whenever, you know, it's like pieces of this demon show up on them. It's like the one girl, she ends up the one girl that the one farmer guy who found the demon initially, she ends up with some piece of skin on her back, and the kids kill her to try to, you know, it's like they're cutting off the skin to give to the demon to build it up. It's kind of a weird idea on it. But you know, interesting.
Yeah, and you actually see it twice in the movie. And I keep wondering to myself, what actor played that character, that thing? Because it's uncredited.
Yeah, I know. It's just some guy wearing a hooded cloak and this real weird mask. I mean, you don't really... One nice thing about it was the fact that they didn't really show the demon.
Yeah.
That much because of the fact that they couldn't do a very good costume for it.
It wasn't really that bad. I mean, for all we know, it could have been Ozzy under all that stuff.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was, you know, but the thing is, I mean, seriously, at around the same time, you had incredible demon makeup that was done, like, remember that film that we talked about, The Devil Rides Through?
Devil Rides Out.
Instead of a demon there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a few years earlier than that. But, you know, that was some incredible makeup work. I mean, I was shocked when I saw that. But this was just basically low budget, you know, guy in a costume type thing. You know, the one thing that I didn't like about this film is the fact that the ending came too fast. It was like they built up the tension, they had this big confrontation that they were supposed to have, and it happens super fast, and it's like, okay, the movie's over.
Yeah, when the judge whips out that long sword and the coven just backs away from him, I kept saying to the screen, okay, lop their heads off.
Yeah. But all he does is he goes and he stabs the demon, lifts it up and throws it in the fire, and then you just, you know, the entire ending of the film is, okay, it's a close-up of the judge's face with the fire around it. It's like, wow. Somebody lost, you know, somebody's budget got cut and they didn't have enough money to finish.
Yeah, if they were to remake this, there would be a lot more carnage. They would have...
Yeah, and it would probably be...
They would have... I don't know, but... There would be a lot more. There would be heads being lopped off.
Well, we can only hope so.
But who knows who would play the judge?
Oh, I mean, know
it's
that.
It's not like there's a lot of old actors in these types of movies, but you would probably have to say, "Oh, it's not really a horror film. It's more of a historical film with horror elements in it."
Oh, you know who they'd get for the judge. They get Anthony Hopkins again.
Well, I don't know, maybe.
Hell yeah!
But he might think this kind of stuff is beneath him.
Well, either that or Robbie Coltrane, they might get him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that we don't make these decisions on these remakes, and you know they'd probably go for someone else that doesn't even fit the role. It's like, you know, just amazes you sometimes.
I'm trying to find this other actor who could play the part. Damn it, I can't remember this one movie he was in. It's an Irish movie. Shit.
Anyways, so yeah, I mean, the thing is, growing up, I didn't really get all the, you know, everything on this film. You know, because
oh,
I was
Harry.
Too young. But
here we go. I found the actor, Brendan Gleeson.
Oh.
You know who that is?
No.
Okay. Well, you'd know him if you saw him. He had a missing leg or a missing eye in one of the Harry Potter sequels.
Oh, okay. Now I know. Yeah. He was actually in two of them.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, he'd be good. Actually, he'd be good for the sheriff. Oh, my God. The sheriff guy? You're going to laugh your ass off, Mr. Highland. I remembered
what?
Him from Are You Being Served? He was one of the characters during the last couple of seasons of Are You Being Served.
Huh.
Yeah,
a long time since I've seen that.
Funny the way that he walks and stuff and his mannerisms and that.
Huh.
But, you know, that's one thing I did like about this film is that you had a bunch of interesting characters. I mean, the characters were all different. You know, you didn't just have, you know, the same one, you know, the same type of characters, and that you had a mix of, you know, different personalities and that. So it was really good. You know, problem is nowadays, you know, when you're watching a horror film, it's almost like you got the same, you know, people are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And it drives you nuts.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, where's the individual personality and stuff?
I know, that's why. I think I'm not sure if that's the main reason why at least in modern American horror movies, has such a bad reputation, but certainly one of the top five, if not the top three, reasons.
What's that?
That there's no distinction between the characters.
Yeah. You can tell that. I mean, you know, it's mostly, you know, the production's problems is that they go for the, you know, nowadays they go pretty much, let's get a bunch of pretty people together. And it's like, why not have a group of people that are less pretty and have a little bit of personality? That makes for a more interesting film than having a bunch of Barbie dolls and Ken dolls in there. And why not have some older people? There are such things as older people. And that. Have older people interact. It's like unbelievable half the time. It amazes me. Anyways, we're almost out of time here, Mr. Highland.
Mm-hmm.
Clock is timing down.
Already?
Any last words on Blood on Satan's Claw?
If you haven't seen this one already, do so. It's worth watching.
I definitely share that opinion. I've loved it, for years. As I said, I was a little kid when I was watching this on Creature Features. And, I didn't understand it when I was a kid, but I did enjoy it. It creeped the shit out of me. So, if it can stand up to, our adult sensibilities, after all these years, and I'm still enjoying it, then that says something about the film. Alrighty, so anyways, any last words anyways on anything there, Mr. Highland?
Yes, I wish we had movies like this now, and movies that build on these themes.
I kind of wish that we had, more of these gothic or historical ones, in horror. They don't have enough of that, and, this kind of stuff was really good. I don't know. I don't know why people can't write a good ones. We do have The Witch to, I still haven't gotten a chance to watch that either, so I'm interested to see what that film, presents. Alrighty, so anyways, we're about ready to be kicked off, so as always, keep America strong, watch horror films, and remember to watch good witch films. Catch you later.
Bye.